Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
Oh, there's something that we're talking sprint training. There's a reason we're playing day games, right? And coming here, it's not that it's uncomfortable, right? But obviously, it's out there. And we knew that we were going to come here around this time. The guys knew about it. Obviously, our schedule was set up whenever it was set up for us to be here. And the guys understands and the staff understands. Everybody took it the right way, and we're going to keep moving forward. The guys went through this last year. Like I said, I did not, but at the same time, you know, we lived it, right? You know, outside the game. It's something that we have to talk about it, and we have to keep getting better. And I think as an organization, we've done an outstanding job communicating with the players, communicating with the front office, with the coaches, and dealing with this the right way.
Alex Cora today, the Red Sox and the Twins postponed, not because of weather, but because of the emotional situation in Minneapolis right now with the Chauvin trial still going on. And then another shooting of an unarmed black man by a police officer yesterday. And so no game today. So we wanted to see if we could update and see what's going on out in Minneapolis. Do Young Park covers the Twins for MLB.com. He joins us live on the Harbor One hotline. And we're trying to figure out exactly where do they go from here. We heard earlier they might try to move the games to Boston, but now we're hearing no. So what are you hearing out there?
Yeah, I think we're all just in the same boat. We're all just kind of in a waiting pattern. And I think to a certain extent, this is all going to be dictated by, I guess, how things progress in Minneapolis and in the greater Twin Cities area through the night, and especially since after sundown is when a lot of the civil unrest around the George Floyd proceedings, which we're all too familiar with here in Minneapolis, that's when a lot of that took place. So I think the sense we're getting from the Twins is that they would love to keep the series here and play baseball when it's appropriate and safe to do so here. And I think we're all just going to have to be kind of responsive and reactionary over the next 12 hours or so to see what that's going to look like. And I don't even think we're going to have a sense for what tomorrow's game is going to look like till tomorrow morning when all this is kind of passed over and we see what we're left dealing with.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask, because, I mean, we've seen in the past, like, it's tonight is probably going to escalate, right? It's probably going to be bad in the streets. I just don't see much changing tomorrow, but, you know, they don't play each other often this year, right? So just squashing four games, I could see them trying to do maybe a doubleheader Wednesday or a game Thursday, try to get at least two of these in, right?
No, it's tough. And the other mitigating factor there is that there's snow in the forecast tomorrow. So we were already looking at the possibility of a delay tomorrow to begin with in just the one game that we were supposed to play. And the other complicating factor there, too, is that we're actually under a curfew right now. We're under curfew in Minneapolis and St. Paul, starting at 7 o'clock Central Time. And so if that were to persist, and there has been precedent for that persisting throughout the George Floyd situation as well, depending on what happens tonight and if that curfew persists, that could also get in the way of possible doubleheaders unless we start them like really early in the morning. So I think these are all factors that Twins and Red Sox leadership are kind of juggling right now to figure out what the heck's going to go on over the next few days.
Yeah, it just seems like, okay, with so many unknowns, it really does seem like the simplest answer is just to move the games.
Right.
So why this insistence, at least for the time being, with keeping the games and forcing the issue when you really doesn't look like, because I would say even by Wednesday or Thursday, you still may have issues.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple elements there, and this is more speculation than anything, but first of all, COVID is still a thing. And I think the travel situation, the travel party, everything like that, you know, everything is a lot more complicated in the just idea of having to move this many bodies on that short of notice between two major cities. I think that's one part of it. Another part of it is kind of the messaging too, right? Part of why the Twins decided to postpone today's game, and part of why the Timberwolves and the Wild and the NBA and the NHL have also postponed the game, is, you know, it's out of respect to the family of the young man that was killed, is that they said, you know, it just didn't feel right to play baseball on a day like today, following an event like that. And I mean, moving the baseball game to Boston and not playing it in Minneapolis, I mean, doesn't change the fact that this still happened and it's still impacting the Minnesota community. And I think there was some awareness of that too, in the decision to play this and in the decision to figure out, you know, I guess what's going to come in the coming days as both the social situation evolves, and saying, listen, is it going to be appropriate to even still play baseball for the Twins, all things considered? And I think it's, you know, just another piece of that big puzzle there.
We're talking to Do-Young Park, who covers the Twins for MLB.com. So I understand the situation in Minneapolis. This one's interesting. Aaron Hicks has asked out of the lineup tonight for the Yankees based on the latest police shooting in Minnesota. So have you heard any of the Twins players who were upset about this and wanted out of the lineup if they would have played this game?
We actually did ask about that, and there were no names named or anything like that, and I don't think that's something we were going to find out as the day transpired. But the Twins do have and Rocco Baldelli himself is one of these people. They do have people that are attuned to these developments and are outspoken about these developments as well. I'm not sure that it would have moved to the extent of players asking out of lineups or anything like that, and I think we saw that. I mean, over the course of last season. When the George Floyd memorials were happening on opening day, and the memorials for, you know, Black Lives Lost in general were happening, you know, around opening day and the opening week and everything like that, I think you saw a sense of, you know, the Twins players wanted to bring awareness to the issue, whether by kneeling or speaking out or that sort of thing. But I think there is also a sense in that clubhouse too, and this is just speaking from the outside, of you know, having baseball kind of be a presence to get a community through this and something like that, and not letting it affect the on-field product and that sort of thing as well. Now, again, that's kind of, you know, just speaking from an outsider looking in, but I didn't hear anything about anything like that, at least on the Twins side, no.
You know, even before what happened yesterday in Minneapolis, was there any talk at all of, because Derek Chauvin, the trial, you knew the timing of it, right? And I was just curious if anybody even mentioned that, hey, maybe we should get out of here this week anyways, right, given what's there. Because I know they're going to L.A. and Oakland after that, sort of like just get out of the city here for a couple weeks.
Right, and I think AC kind of alluded to it as well in that clip you guys played at the top of the segment, is that I think both sides, both the Twins and the Red Sox, were aware in their kind of discussion and planning around these games that, you know, we're in week three of the Chauvin trial right now. That trial is literally taking place a couple blocks from Target Field in the Hennepin County Courthouse. I think, you know, and you got to look at that and say, you know, there's probably a reason why, you know, these games were supposed to be night games, but were rescheduled into day games. I think the first couple were supposed to be like 7:10 games, and they're all now 1 o'clock games. And I'm sure that kind of played a factor there to a certain extent as well, in the sense of, you know, maybe there were going to be curfews, maybe they were trying to be preventative or something like that. But, you know, there are just a couple things like that in play there where, like I said, AC alluded to that. And, you know, there's, you know, the MLB scheduling monster is so massive, but looks like they're trying to get ahead of it a little bit to the certain extent that they could as well.
You know, since you cover Major League Baseball and the Twins, I just figured it was I couldn't let you go without asking you, before the game was going to even start, like, what was your perception of what the Red Sox were doing, you know, based on their six wins in a row? Were you guys kind of weary of like how strong they were becoming, or did you, what was the perception, you know, before the series started?
I think there's a little more confusion as to how the Red Sox are playing after that opening series in Baltimore, and then how kind of things have seemed to gel, especially around JD Martinez, what he's doing. And I was looking forward to seeing him on the field go for that extra base hits record. You know, I mean, it's a guy that he's seen a lot before in Jay Happ as well, and so, you know, I was keeping an eye on that. But I mean, there's a certain degree of consternation in Twins camp around as well, just because There's a lot of individuals playing well, but a couple of bullpen meltdowns this year and the extra inning struggles, I think, have Twins fans kind of focused inward more than they are focused outward at the moment. So I think those are kind of the storylines, at least that Minneapolis, Minneapolitans had on their minds as I think we're approaching this matchup.
Do Young Park from MLB.com. We really appreciate it. We'll let you get back to your holding pattern because we're all in a holding pattern here and see how it goes between now and tomorrow. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, all of us right here. Sir. Thanks for having me.
Take you care. Got it. Did refer to the Red Sox winning six in a row. This breaks up the momentum. Boy, so if they have to sit around for 4 days with no baseball.
So this is interesting because the couple things that he said. So, you know, you forget about COVID. Right, that's amazing in itself that you forgot about COVID. At least I did, because I wonder if that does significantly impact how quickly they can pack things up and get out of Dodge. And then not only for the Red Sox, but also for the Twins, how quickly can they kind of, you know, organize and hop on a plane? Like there's one just sitting there waiting for them, right? They have a big plane just sitting on the runway just waiting for them in case of emergency. I just, when you think about it, is probably a lot more difficult, Lou, than I think we actually even understand. Hey, guys, we're leaving now.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of logistics, you know, just, you know, playing here and staffing this place. I mean, you know, you don't have to sit there and say, okay, we're going to just all of nowhere put 38,000 tickets on sale, right? Because only 4,500 people can show up here anyways.
Yep.
But the travel, the hotels, all these other things, I still think it's something that can be done. I just don't think that, they want to move the game. You know, I think they want these games here because I think the obvious answer is that they'd probably end up getting, and even though it's 10,000 fans, most of those games will be replayed maybe at Fenway Park, you know, in August when they come back here. And it's just, you know, more games away from home that I think they want to avoid if they can. I could see them trying to get two games in, Wednesday, Thursday. Other than that, I see it escalating tonight. Like, it's not going to, you know, the mayor of Minneapolis can say whatever he wants.
We've seen this movie.
I think,
for them.
And I don't think anything's going to change tomorrow.
Right. We've seen this. Yeah. It doesn't calm down in the initial 24 to 48 hours. You already have the emotion of the trial. Now you've got another shooting. Now you've got the video that was released here a few hours ago. Does anybody believe this thing is going to be contained and people are going to calm down? We've seen this before. The president can say whatever he wants. Anybody can say whatever they want. They're going to have no bearing in any of this. Matter of fact, my guess is that you might get some, you know, pushing back and forth or maybe escalated beyond that with the police tonight out in the streets. And if that happens, it's going to get more emotional. We know that. And so I agree with you that COVID probably played some into some of it. The Twins are probably looking at it saying, oh my God, look at all we have to do. And we got to get the plane and the Red
Sox.
Well,
what about the messaging? What about the message that it sends? That's the other. There's two things. It was the COVID situation. And then it's the messaging. Like, what kind of message are we telling everybody that when the first sign of some chaos, we're going to pack up and run? We're going to leave our city because we don't trust it.
I thought that was an interesting way of putting it, too, like the beginning. Just, you know, oh, we can't play baseball. Well, we got to play baseball no matter what's going on in our city. So let's go somewhere else and make sure we get the games in. Because you mentioned it. They do. Like tomorrow, they could sit around here all day. Logistics would be difficult to get out of town, but they can do that. You know, at some point tomorrow, they can get out of town. They can roll in here Wednesday, play a doubleheader. And they can play the day game on Thursday. They can get three of these four games in right here at Fenway Park Wednesday and Thursday if they want. But will that be viewed as, oh, it's bad things are happening in Minnesota, but you know what? Playing baseball is more important. I think at some point it's like, well, you know, we're going to play these games. We're not going to just call baseball off for 2 weeks, right? So, but I don't know. Maybe they're just sensitive towards that situation. But they could come here and play two Wednesday, one Thursday in Bolt easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily. I think it you got to separate the two. But if you're looking at it from a baseball point of view, suppose you lose all four of these games. So that means they're going to have to make them up at some point. You're right, Lou. They may end up playing them in Boston or somewhere else, but you're going to have to make up those four games.
That's tough.
And that is really difficult when you back them up. You were talking earlier about the Mets and the Washington Nationals. Well, they're in the same division. They get to a lot of games against each other. You're not playing a lot of games against the Twins.
No, those guys lost three games. So the next three times they play, they can play a doubleheader, and it's over. Right? They can mix them in. Like, it's over. These two teams, they just don't play each other again. You know, they'll come back here in August, and they'll play a set out here, and that's about it. So, it's during the week, a three-game set. It's just a lot more difficult to do. So, at some point, you know, you get the games in, whether it's here, whether it's there. You mentioned it, like the Red Sox are playing well right now. I don't know, the 2-7s. I think teams welcome 2-7s. Hell, I can get out there and get my start of 5 innings. Yes. I can actually give my bullpen a rest now because they're 7-inning games, right? I think they welcome it. I think they enjoy it. So
yeah, I don't think this is good.
What's that?
I don't think this is good for the Red Sox having to win 6 in a row and you're on fire. And right now, J.D. Martinez, even though he took a day off on Saturday, he's batting .472 and he's got 17 hits and he's on fire. The Vasquez is off to a tremendous start. I think all it does is it takes you away in your head and your mind and everything else.
Well,
away
this
from
one
the
doesn't.
Game.
I mean, well, if it, whether it plays minds in you or what's going on in the world, that's one thing. But, you know, the Red Sox have only had one day off, and it was Friday. Remember, opening day got rained out, right? The next day was so they've only had one day off yet so far this year, and that was last Friday in Baltimore. So this is just another day off right now. Maybe it's going to be 2 in a row.
Yeah,
we'll
four.
See.
But what about four?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, nobody wants 4 days off. But, no, I just they played so many games in a row, kind of, you know, as far as baseball goes, just separating the two. Yeah, no, you can give a little breather to some of the big arms you have out in that bullpen. You can get guys ready to go the next couple days. But they're playing good baseball. I don't care who you're playing. You know, they're playing the Baltimore Orioles, whatever. I don't care. They played good baseball. They threw the ball well. They hit the ball well. They ran the bases well. And they, I feel like in the last week in those 6 games, they stole a couple victories. They could very easily be 4-5, kind of like blech. But no, they stole some games. They showed some heart. They showed base running. Like, actually going out there playing the game the right way. And because of that, you won 2 and you're sitting there 6-3. On top of the division.
So
I don't care where
them?
You are. They're
you
better than a lot of people think, in my opinion.
You want to up them to 97 wins now? You want to go there?
I almost did. Well, I jokingly did on Twitter. But 87 wins is a good team. I'm sticking with it. Everybody laughed at me after the opening weekend. Maybe I laughed at myself.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, you looked at that and said the pitching was okay. They just didn't swing the bats. They're going to swing the bats. And all of a sudden they woke up now and they have.
Well, I never thought that the bats would be an issue. I never thought that J.D. Martinez would be an issue. I mean, he threw the towel in last year, and he said it. He's too good a hitter. I'm not sure he's going to continue to bat close to 500 and 5 home runs in what we've seen to this point, but he's going to be fine. I still question where the pitching is. I still question Nathan Eovaldi. Okay, good start, but let's see how long it lasts and how many starts you get during the course of the season. I'm not willing to change from I thought they were a 500 team. I still think they're a 500 team. And you really don't learn an awful lot in the first couple weeks. I know the Yankees are off to a terrible start. What does it really mean? I mean, you don't like their pitching. You may be right. They have one legitimate top-of-the-rotation starter. I still think they're the Yankees, and I still think that in the end, let's see where they are on Memorial Day. Memorial Day is really that weekend. You kind of get a good idea as to where teams are in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but I would say this. So when I agree for the most part. But as far as how many games have they had so far? I don't even know. What are there?
Nine
games, right? They're 6-3. So this is basically like the equivalent of one play in the NFL. Like you just had
one
the
play. Yes, one
play.
Not
you
one game.
Had,
one
no,
play.
Not even a series. Right. You had one play, and
what?
The first play. Here's what happened on the first play. If you're going to draw a comparison, the quarterback fumbled the ball. It hit the ground. He picked it up, and sure enough, he hit a 30-yard bomb because all the other defenders fell down. And you're like, holy crap! What a season we're going to have! Woo! It's one play. So no, it's just too freaking long. Is what it is. But I will say this. Like, if they were going to kind of get smacked into reality, that those first 3 games with Baltimore, I thought were important. Hey, guys, you can't just kind of, you know, walk out there, you know, throw your bats out there thinking that you're just going to win because everyone says Baltimore sucks. Like, to me, I think that if you're going to get a wake-up call, let's get it right away so we don't have some Memorial Day freaking, you know, team meeting like the Celtics did, you know, and then somehow try and salvage our season. To me, I think it's different. Like when you learn invaluable lessons right away, right? When you make endeavors, when you make stupid mistakes right away and your manager sits you game 3 because he doesn't trust you and you just broke camp and you're making these stupid rookie mistakes and you've been in the league forever. So to me, there is something to that, which and that's why Lou, when I saw you jokingly say they're not sneaky anymore, they're just good, I think you should stick with it.
No, I think they are. I do. Listen, I think that, you know, I don't know what you can get out of this rotation. you know. But and I know nobody really knew what the hell Pivetta was or any of these guys. And Richards, again, I don't think he was great. He was much better, but I think he was okay. Perez is what
again.
He is. I think Nate. Yeah. I think Nate is different than maybe what we've talked about the last 2 or 3 years. Health wise, whatever. But I've said even when he's healthy, I never really thought he was that good because he hasn't been. You know, because he rears back 97, 98, 100, and he gets hit. But this year, you know, it's different. The stuff is a little bit different. The slider's really, really good. His split's more effective. Like, and that's why he's been so dominant. That's why he's getting more swings and misses, because the off-speed is that much better. That now his fastball's actually playing. I think Erod's going to be just fine. You know, so I think that there's some guys there that I think are surprising to a lot of people. I think there's a lot of depth in this rotation, more than people think. And I just don't see him really just kind of going away and being this 70-75 win team that a lot of people think they are.
Well, after the first three games, the one thing that has happened is that the bats have come alive, and so there's not been an awful lot of pressure on the pitching.
Right.
So the pitching has had huge leads to play with.
And, well, I wouldn't say that either. In two games, they had big leads. In two games, they came out and smacked teams. In the other four, like the game here, I mean, you had Martin Perez versus Glasnow. And it was like, dude, you're going to lose that game. And he went out there and matched them. You know, it was like down 2-1. And they came back and you know, won that ball game. The other day, I mean, they've had four of their six wins have come from behind. So only two games have done what you said, you know, as far as like just smacking people around. That's it, just twice. So they've done enough. They've made big pitches. They've stayed in games. And their bats have done enough. I mean, base running has been better. I mean, even go back, what was that Baltimore series when like Devers gets like picked off?
In the first
and you're
series.
Like, what the yeah. Christ is going on right now? That is so 2020. Next thing you know, Bogey's running around the bases and he ends up scoring.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. They just, you know, they just tie the game on that? Like, you know what I mean? It's just they play the game better than when we've seen the last 2 years.
Yeah, but we saw a situation.
They play the game better right now.
We saw a situation over the weekend where they weren't sure whether they thought they were three outs. Okay, right? They thought there were three outs. Who was
that? That was JD. Didn't JD make that mistake?
No, well, that was here.
No, that was
Tampa.
Earlier. Yeah, no, yeah, this yeah. weekend at second base, I'm trying to remember exactly what happened, but at second base they were confused and they thought they were out of the inning and there were only two outs. So you're still seeing a little bit of some of that stuff. I just think that they're hitting so well. And you're right, Lou. They're getting timely pitching. And the one biggest thing you can say that they did not do last year is they did not come back in games. This team is coming back in games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. And I just think there's more there. I think there's arms there. There's a couple guys. I don't know what Sale's going to be like. He was out here today throwing actually here at Fenway. 120 feet, then 90 feet, then 60 feet. I don't know what he's going to be like when he comes back. That could be hit or miss. There's been guys in the past that come back after Tommy John right away are good. Other guys, like, you know, get his feet wet this year. Next year, hopefully, he's good. The kid Whitlock, he's had some of the easiest innings I've ever seen. He comes in the bullpen and just dominates guys. He's the Rule 5 from the Yankees. I think he's going to be in the rotation at some point as well. He's rotation depth. He's a starter. You know, so you got guys. Like, everybody wanted Hauk because they love him, right? He comes up here and dominates. Well, he's in AAA. So the first guy that goes down, the first guy that struggles, Hauk is up here. You feel good about him. So it's just – there's just a lot here. Swinging the bats, I think there's a good mix. This kid Danny Santana, he's probably about 3 or 4 weeks away. I think he answers some of your concerns. You know, leadoff spot, left-handed bat. He can play all over the field. I think they're counting on him to do a lot of things. So it's – there's just a lot of depth there. It's a good team.
Yeah, it was Rafael Devers covering up at second base on a strikeout.
Yeah,
running, and he never put the tag on him because he thought there were three outs. He started walking towards the
dugout. But, you know, think about, like, Devers, too. We talk about, like, Cora. Like, you know, there's just no question that there's, like, a Cora effect with this team. Like, they just really enjoy playing with him.
Yeah,
I feel like if there was another manager, what Devers did on that homestand would have lasted the entire month. You know, but instead, here we are, lasted 6 games. He goes out to Baltimore, and he's an absolute monster, making game-saving plays defensively, you know, offensively impacting games. And it's just, he has a way to kind of get a lot out of these guys. They all have a lot to prove, every single one of them on this team, maybe except Bogarts, who's still playing great. But there's just, and that's what I liked coming out of camp. We talked about it, including the manager. When you got a motivated group that's trying to prove that last year was a joke or last year that you're better than that or whatever it might be, that's a good thing. And that's kind of what they had coming right out of camp.
Yeah,
there's something cool going on here.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would argue with you with
Cora and the calming effect he has, plus the fact that they are interacting with him on a regular basis, which last year you couldn't interact with Renicky. They wouldn't allow it. So,
well, but I also think that not only like, but I just overall there's a respect level there that remained even after the scandal. Like even after everything that happened, there's still a high level of respect for all these players.
Players because don't care about the scandal.
No, I mean, but I do. Well, I do think they're. I mean, because I think they think the scandal was bullcrap. That's why I think. Right. So it's so
everybody
so it never
does
really
it. That's
left.
What the players say privately. Everybody does it. Come on, what's the big deal? I don't think they looked at Cora differently because of that scandal, and I think they love him, and he does have a calming effect. I think Lou's right. I think that's probably the biggest thing. Now, let's see if it holds on and prevails here over 162 games, because I think there are still a lot of pitfalls here. David is in Florida and wants to talk about the Sox. Go ahead, David.
Hey, three things. First, what about also playing the games at a neutral site? Chicago's right next door. St. Louis, find a team that's away for 3 or 4 days. Instead of having to fly 4 hours back to Boston, just take a quick hop and a skip to St. Louis or Detroit or somewhere.
I'm sure they think about doing that, too.
Yeah,
I
think
that might make more sense. I don't know the schedule of the 4 or 5 places around there that are close, but yeah, you could do something like that easily.
I think there might be something to the fact that if you're the Twins, you're sitting there going, this is our city. We're dealing with this emotionally. What does it look like if we just pick up and move these games? Let's hold on and see if we can play these games. Let's give it another day. Let's see if we can do it. It just looks bad if you're picking up and saying, okay, we're leaving the city. Good luck to all of you here. We're going to take off. We're going to go to Boston.
Yeah, we'll see you in a month.
We're going to go to Chicago.
We'll see you in over a month.
Yeah, they're looking at it differently than we are as to where they're going to get these games in. How are they going to play these games? Mm-hmm. Because I think there is a possibility here all 4 games could be postponed. Now, and then you have a major problem on your hands. I think the Twins are looking at it saying, we want to play these games here. You know, in our city, we don't want to leave. But let's see how volatile it becomes here in the next 3 hours.
Regarding David's call, Wrigley Field, by the way, is open until Thursday. You could play Tuesday and Wednesday there.
There you go.
Yeah. They're not going anywhere. I think they're just the way the messaging, I think, is probably the one thing they want to avoid. And, you know, running out of town is like just a really bad look.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're concerned about it. And, you know, from their vantage point, I could totally understand that. And they're not looking at, let's get the baseball games in. They're looking at, how do we look if we get up and we leave and go elsewhere? And they know, as Lou said earlier, that those makeup games, they're going to tell the Twins, sorry, we're going to play those in Boston because we're not, going back to Minnesota. We don't have 2 or 3 days to get back to Minnesota to play those games. All right, 617-779-7937. Julian Edelman, no longer a member of the New England Patriots. We'll get to it coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Patriots have two timeouts. Brady is by himself in the shotgun. 5-1, 4 in the defensive line for Atlanta.
I caught it!
When he got up and was very confident in the way he got up, I knew he had that football.
I caught it! Crazy, I swear to God!
No way, look at that!
Watch!
Look at the ground!
No! No!
That's definitely got to be the greatest catch in Super Bowl history.
Ooh, let it begin. Let it begin.
It's much better with the music, isn't it?
He also had the game-winning touchdown against Seattle. Everybody remembers what Malcolm Butler did, but they forget that last drive in the fourth quarter. And that was Julian Edelman with that touchdown. And that's why we say he's a red jacket guy, because he's had so many big moments in big, huge games. So the Patriots today terminated his contract, and they cited, obviously, failure to pass the physical. Tommy Curran has a little bit more on this just seconds ago. He wrote the book with Edelman, so I would guess and I would take his word for it. Here's the tweet. There will be no more football for Edelman, according to a source. The release was not a surprise. The release was not a surprise, nor was it something Edelman was against. Realized the body had nothing more to give and wasn't going to be able to be who he'd been. So we were throwing this around when all of this broke about an hour and a half ago, and we were wondering whether Edelman would play for Tampa Bay or anybody else. It sounds to me like Curran has got a source here, quote, end quote, source, that he's not going to play, that this is it. He's done. And he was part of all of this decision-making. So it might be a clerical way of getting him paid some of his money.
Yeah,
that may be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
A clerical way, meaning, do you, okay, because I mentioned that rule that is, what I believe is still in the CBA, where, you know, it's special circumstances based on years left on your contract, being cut because of injury, that team is responsible for paying you part of your salary.
Makes sense.
Unless you sign for another team. So it would be easy for him to say, hey, listen, they're paying me anyways. I kind of want to be involved. Hey, maybe I want to get into coaching. Hey, I'll hang around. I'm getting paid anyways. Let me just hang around or come and go as much as I want, or I'll be around as much as you need me. That, to me, is kind of always interesting what guys decide to do. But Edelman seems like a guy that's probably already getting calls from, like, you know, ESPN or CBS or something to that effect. You know, HBO, you name it, where he'll end up doing something to that effect. That's what Teddy did. Teddy retired, and 2 days later, he was working for ESPN and doing a pregame show
for
ESPN.
This is movie time.
That's right. He's got his own production company. Don't forget about that. But I think that probably makes some sense, what you're saying, Christian, is that this way, he is guaranteed some of his money because he's being let go with injury. If he were to retire without going in and taking that physical, then he probably doesn't get that money. The Patriots are able to walk away, right?
No, this is listen, 12 years in the NFL. 12 years in the NFL, unbelievable career. And again, it didn't take but maybe 10 seconds for that Schefter to tweet that out. And for the where is his legacy lie, so to speak, like where could he go? Who is he the best? Is he the greatest to ever do it, or the best? Is he a very good player? That is what it is. Watch, you'll see Greenberg tomorrow morning say using that stupid phrase.
Well, let's throw it out
he used
there.
With Brady.
Let's throw it out there. He is an unbelievable performer in the biggest games. I think there's no denying that. We just played for you what he did with 2.5 minutes left in that game against Atlanta. That was the huge comeback. And then you've got the game against Seattle that I just mentioned. But he's had other great, huge games. He's never made a Pro Bowl, though, right? He's never made a Pro Bowl. So, therefore...
So, he's the greatest. That said, it doesn't mean he's the best.
But the people that are talking today about him being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, that's not going to happen.
Well, we should... I don't know, Ryan. I don't know if you have that or not. He just... Julian Edelman, God, a minute ago, just put on Twitter a video of him, Foxborough. I mean, this is under
it's
the lights,
4 minutes
right?
Long.
So this is...
I don't know.
Let's listen to some of it.
Pre-recorded.
It's 4 minutes long.
What's that?
Nothing in my career has ever come easy. And no surprise, this isn't going to be easy either. Now, I've always said... I'm going to go until the wheels come off. And they finally have fallen off. Due to an injury last year, I'll be making my official announcement of my retirement from football. It was a hard decision, but the right decision for me and my family. And I'm honored and so proud to be retiring a Patriot. There are a million people I have to thank. Mr. Kraft, the Kraft family, learned so much from you guys on and off the field. Coach Belichick, giving me my opportunity. I always love you for that. My teammates, gone to war. We've lost some, we've won some. You guys will always be my brothers. To all my coaches that I played under, I appreciate all your insight, all your hard work, all your knowledge. To the entire Patriots organization, from the meal ladies, to the people that clean up after us, to the people in the hallways, the training staff, the strength staff. We share so many awesome memories that I'll never forget. And of course, my family. You guys have always had my back. It's been the best 12 years of my life. It's a hell of a run. And I can't forget you, Patriot Nation. You guys have welcomed me and my family to a region we do not know. We didn't know. But now, I'm one of you. I'm going to leave you guys with two words. Foxborough, forever.
There you go. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Ryan, because I'm trying to watch the video on it. Does he actually go like a minute at the beginning without saying a word, like doing a 360 around the stadium? Is that correct?
Listen, this is very serious. Sad time for Julian Edelman. He's seated in a, it looks like a director's chair.
It is a director's chair.
In the middle of Foxborough Stadium. Yep. It's nighttime. And yes, he's listening to the sounds, the roars of the crowd, the great calls from the radio play-by-play. Oh, and now actually he has now got up and walked away, and it looks like he just teleported, like on Star Trek.
No, it's like Star Trek.
What the hell just happened there?
Honest to God, I don't even know what to say.
So as I'm telling Glenn what just happened, he gets up at the end of that, walks away, and there's like a nice still shot, and he's walking, and then aliens just abducted him.
Beam me up.
I'm so confused.
Well, he got beamed up.
I don't know. Was this recorded last night, 2 nights ago? It's at night.
It's at night, yeah.
It's at night. It's not dark enough right now for it to be like any kind of live, so obviously it was done a few nights ago, I would think. And so there you go. Fox Pro forever.
Oh, I don't know. God. Those aliens look a lot like Tommy Curran in the background.
Leave it to Edelman to just over-dramatize and overproduce.
Listen, this is, as he's walking away, this is how it goes. Everybody listen.
Beam me up.
Where does he go?
Beam me up.
That new production company is going to be awesome. I can't wait. You guys are great football player, but I wanted to choke Tangway for talking about how the guy's talented. Oh, he's so funny. He's going to be a great actor. No, he makes that. Gronk look like Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Gronk looks like, I mean, he looks,
really good scripts.
Gronk looked like, you know, a good, pick a good actor. Jeez. Well, you know what? Be ready for more of that. Be ready for more of that. And listen,
he had an unbelievable career. I mean, nobody's taking that away from him. An unbelievable career. When you look at where it began, he was a college quarterback. Nobody thought he could play in the NFL. He switches positions. He becomes a tremendous player and a huge impact on championship wins by this team. There's nobody denying any of that. He was phenomenal in that respect.
Yeah, now he's going to go blow up a Death Star or something.
Yeah, and he's going to get a red jacket, so he's going to be beamed up into the Patriots Hall of Fame. They're going to beam him up over into that museum.
It sucks,
because
you love watching him play. Yeah. You know, whoever it is going to be a quarterback, especially if it was Cam, would have loved to have thrown to him when he was healthy. But I really don't think, when we started talking about the wide receivers, you guys tell me. I mean, Aguilar and all these other guys, Bourne, and we're talking about Harry, we're talking about Jacoby Myers. I don't really think any of us really expected Julian Edelman be part of that, did we? Like, just,
well, not based,
you know,
on his,
knew it was coming, didn't you?
Yeah, but not based on his health. And then, you know, Karen Garrigan, obviously,
contract, but combined.
Yeah. No, I just don't believe that you look at his career and everybody's doing it now. Everybody's citing him as a Hall of Famer. How about this, Matt Miller, who's going to be our guest? When's he our guest this Friday? Was our guest this Friday, right?
He will be our guest this Friday.
This Friday.
Yes.
All right.
And he thinks Edelman is, to me, a Hall of Famer. He's tweeted that out.
I'm telling you, you're going to have, there's going to be a lot of debate over this based on his accomplishment, his postseason numbers, which I think are valid. I don't think you can deny him. And the way that the Hall of Fame is now, like, it's almost like, you know, you just pick and choose who you want in there, and then you create a case for him. Because, I mean, if who was the last one to go on? Was it Terrell Owens, Chris Carter?
Owens
who else?
Went 2 years ago.
Yeah. Marvin Harrison, I think, was another one.
Yeah, but wait a minute. We're talking about guys that are all pros year after year after year.
Change. I get it.
He's never been a pro bowler.
I agree with you. But since when is that, like, the criteria? Why is, like, oh, you
who's
have
it,
to
who's
be
in
a
Hall of Fame that hasn't that made it at least,
well,
a Pro Bowl?
Well, I would also say that I would
there
say
there are guys that aren't in the Hall of Fame that have, like,
listen,
eight of them.
I don't think he is, but I think this would be a special set of circumstances that are just based on you know, postseason numbers. But the reality is he isn't, because if we're just going to go based on numbers and catches alone, he's not even close.
Well, postseason numbers, we all know the impact he had. He's outstanding in the postseason. There's no question about it. But I would like, when people are talking about people's career, to be a little more factually correct than Matt here. When he talks about how he was, for 11 years, he was Brady's go-to guy. How about six, Matt? Like, you know what I mean? Like that last year was his 11th year. He didn't have Brady. You know, in the first 4 years, I mean, he had 37 catches, 7, 4, 21. You know, it was in 2013 to 2019. Right, he was Brady's guy. But you can't come out and say for 11 years he was Brady's go-to guy. Yeah, I mean, you just can't say that when it's been six.
Listen, if they have a Hall of Fame, and they probably should, for the greatest moments in sports history, okay, and that was a Hall of Fame, he would be a unanimous first ballot guy in there, because he's had some unbelievable moments.
Yes.
But entire career? Well, you look at the entire career, and if you've never been a Pro Bowler, and you could argue that maybe he should have been a Pro Bowler at least once in his career, that there were a lot of people out there that looked at it and said, oh, he's a slot guy. Come on, those aren't really receivers. They're slot guys, which is foolish, because you can look at his production, and his production was pretty impressive. But they did the same thing to Wes Walker. They ignored him, and he had even better production in regular seasons than Edelman had.
There's a Hall of Fame monitor on ProFootballReference.com, and here are some other wide receivers with comparable careers to Julian Edelman. Troy Brown, Amani Toomer, Dante Hall, Michael Thomas, Dez Bryant, Plaxico Burress, Terry Glenn, Greg Jennings, Santana Moss, Joe Horn.
I do remember Plaxico Burress did have one catch. I do remember that was pretty momentous. I do remember that
his regular season career, you know, if people are talking about Hall of Fame, no one's going to talk about regular season. He was good. He had six good years with Brady. You know, one of them only played nine games. He was hurt, too. But it's all about postseason. I mean, it's all about postseason. The records he was approaching and receptions and everything, that's when we started having his discussions, right? Because did he pass Jerry Rice? in postseason receptions? I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was some kind of ridiculous stat over like Jerry Rice. I think it's receptions. So, I don't even know. He's playing a lot of games.
So it wouldn't surprise me if he did. Somebody's probably going to make the argument if Jerry Rice is in the Hall of Fame, then Julian Edelman should be, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Based on that, they're going to do that.
Rice number one with catches with 151. Julian's about 30 behind.
Wait, for postseason?
Yes, postseason catches, correct.
Yeah, well, there was something else. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, there was something. Lou's right. There was something.
Because that's why we started talking about his MVP. I mean, Hall of Fame career.
Yes.
But I'll look it up.
And the way it happens in football, we all know, they sit in there, the great poobahs of football, Hall of Fame, and they basically debate all of this stuff. In that respect, he doesn't have a chance. There's going to be too many things that they can cite, and we've already cited a few of them that aren't going to work. But Red Jacket, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely deserves
Patriots Hall of Famer, no question.
And you can say that he's been one of the all-time great New England Patriot receivers. All right, we have the greatest victory call in the history of sports, talking about greatness. Plus, Charles Barkley turned down what job? We'll get to it next. Hi, Mud.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Time now for Last Call. See you later. I'm done. And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I don't thrill really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block. Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Belichick and Kraft have released statements regarding Julian Edelman. This is Bill. By any measure of what constitutes an elite NFL career, wins, championships, production, Julian has it all. It goes on and on and on to talk about what he did for our team. What I may appreciate the most is he was the quintessential throwback player. He could and did do everything. Catch, run, throw, block, return, cover, and tackle, all with an edge and attitude that would allow him, that would not allow him to fail under any circumstance. And then, of course, Kraft goes on to talk about him as one of the great success stories in our franchise history. All true, right?
No, I would say that's about as clean and direct and concise as you could make it.
Just like the Gronk one, right?
Yeah, just
it
like
is
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah, it does. But his hard-o moments kind of ruin it a little bit for me every now and then. I'm not going
to
lie.
He went to space, man. That was badass. How many times has Jerry Rice gone to space?
Am I right? Did that thing go on for like almost 4 minutes?
It's just...
Hey, some might say not long enough, Glenn.
It's just look at me from every angle. Oh, Jesus.
Squint off into the night.
That's a good point. Why is he squinting? It's dark outside.
It's dark. The lights are so bright, I can't see.
It's part of the brand. Part of the squinting brand. That's what it is. Have you guys seen this 18-year-old bowling phenom? This guy, Anthony the Ginger Assassin Noor.
Is that the guy that
that's
did the
10-7
split?
Yeah, it's a real... Yeah, they did the 7-10 split. And this guy, only the fourth player in PBA history. He does not look like an athlete. He actually has a body like mine.
He looks like 95% of the producers that work in this building. It's kind of the shape of whatever container you'd pour him into.
With red hair. So let's go to the play-by-play, man. This is Rob Stone with the call.
Come on, kid, do it.
Oh, he did it! He did it! He got the 7-10, Randy! Oh, he did it! Woo-hoo! My goodness! is the Ginger Assassin. Just dropped the 7-10. You bet, kid. You bet. Oh, man. Give me some oxygen and water to spare the game. Brought to you by Guaranteed Rate. If you believe it, you can do it. Guaranteed Rate. Believe you will.
See, baseball oh, needs more of that, Lou. Baseball needs Jeez. More of what bowling is. I love it.
Jeez.
That's
up, huh?
excitement.
The
Motion.
Ginger Assassin. Wow. It's kind of like the Flying Tomato. I love it.
The big following they got on bowling. You got to love that guy.
Boy, how does he do it?
7-10 split. He's a lefty, huh?
Yeah, look at his body, though. He's doughy.
He's a big boy for an 18-year-old.
Oh, yeah, he's doughy.
My goodness, the Ginger Assassin just dropped the 7-10. You bet, kid.
Oh, that's an excitement.
Yeah. Are you guys familiar with Hank Azaria's Jim Brockmire character?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
He plays the sportscaster, the Jim Brockmire. So he does a podcast now as Jim Brockmire. Had Charles Barkley on there, who ripped Twitter and also revealed that he turned down a very prestigious TV job.
Twitter's just a bunch of amateurs talking out of their ass. But you're the Picasso of talking out your ass. You'd be great at it.
But at least I know the fuck I'm talking about. These guys, they have they feel the need to comment on everything that's happening in the world. I only comment on basketball. Like, they offer me Monday Night Football. I says, I like football, but I ain't going to be one of these jackasses to get on TV and act like he know about football. But my thing is, why do you take the time out of your life to say something mean or just be a dick or an ass? Like, it's something that's got nothing to do with you, I might add. But you take the time to troll. I think that's the word they
use. Trolling, yeah, trolling, hating, sure.
I would never be sitting around my house and say, let me get off my fat ass and grab my computer and comment on something that's happening.
Yeah, well, he's right. I mean, the Monday Night Football thing, like, whoa, do we just... Wait, are we just going to gloss over this? They offered him Monday Night Football? Yeah, they offered Charles Barkley Monday Night Football.
I don't believe
it. My guess is kind of like, come in studio and just sort of be Charles Barkley.
No, it's like Dennis Miller. When Dennis Miller was given that job, it's like, hey, you're funny in a weird way, I guess. Some people get your jokes. I never got them. He's not a football guy. And Barkley, hell, I mean, sometimes when he covers college basketball in the NCAA tournament, you're like, dude, you don't know anything about these teams.
Exactly.
I like football, but I ain't going to be one of these jackasses to get on TV and act like he know about football.
He talks about other stuff all the time. Don't you remember in NBA broadcast when the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs were going on at the same time?
Yeah.
He would get on every night and start talking about what happened in the hockey game the night before.
Yeah, he had money on it. That's why. He was betting on it. I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what I've been told.
I love Charles, but he's so full of it. He really is so full of it. But he can get away with it. He's one of those guys that can say whatever, and he'll never be canceled. Never, ever will he be.
Let me get off my fat ass and grab my computer and comment on something that's happening.
Hi, Mutt. Right. How are you, Mutt?
Boys, what's going on? How are you?
We're doing good.
Hello.
Mutt, you got post-game ready to go?
We're ready to go. Big game today. I mean, so much to talk about from that big one in Minnesota.
Yeah,
I know.
Good.
You guys were good today. Last minute, jumped in, fired up, ready to go.
I was prepared. I mean, I definitely wasn't on the golf course drunk all weekend.
No, you were definitely buddies. You were locked in thinking you had a full 1 hour show today.
I was ready to go.
They're not going to play this week in Minnesota.
No, Lou spent all his time preparing for the Minnesota Twins.
Yep.
And we're not going to get a single game.
Nelson Cruz, Byron Buxton, all these guys. Jay Happ's going to get shoved.
Unless
they play these at like 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. Central Time, whatever. They're not playing the games. Like you guys talked about it when the game got postponed, too. Get on the plane and get to Boston. They're not playing this week in Minnesota. I don't get it. Bradford has got some information. He will join us at 7 o'clock and let us know what's going on. We'll talk about that. And obviously, Edelman, we will figure out between now and the end of the show, where did Edelman get beamed up to? I think he got beamed directly to Tom Brady's house in Tampa. Go hang out with TB12.
It's called Hardoville.
Exactly. All right, boys, we have no idea what we're going to do tomorrow, do we? Lou, you're doing a game tomorrow, correct?
If there is one.
If there is
o'clock.
A game. All right, so all we can tell you is stay tuned, and you'll find out. We'll either be on tomorrow at 2, or we'll be on after the game, if they play the game. Mutt at Night coming up next. Have a good one. We're out of here. Good night.
You bet, kid!
This is WEEI.